What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Man, we talk about playoffs, man. You ready?
I've been ready. I was born ready. No Lance Stephenson, born ready.
Man, we just talk about somebody who can win a game, man. This is playoffs. Welcome to another episode of Off the Bench. Of course, you got your host, myself, Ryan, and the sixth man of Dead End Sports, Q. How you doing, Q?
Man, I'm feeling great. Every good playoff team needs a good sixth man, so feeling very, very special. Feeling very, very energized, ready to get this playoff talk, get this Kobe talk underway for sure.
Exactly. Just as Q just alluded to, today we're going to break down based off. This is at most of the – actually, as we're speaking right now, the Clippers game is going on right now. We've seen most – Q has seen basically almost every single playoff matchup. I haven't seen all of them. I've seen the majority of them. But we're going to try and break them down, give you guys our predictions, thoughts, key factors, things that we think are going to matter, stuff you may want to look out for. But also the other thing on the night is, of course – Mamba. I'm not gonna lie, as a Celtics fan, as a guy who's hated Kobe over the years, did you see that commercial with the one he's basically a conductor?
Yeah, that was sad.
I won't lie, dude, that kind of got me in my feelings a little bit.
I mean, we're definitely gonna talk about that. I don't want to give my thoughts too much, but
right.
Yeah, we're definitely gonna talk about Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. First round, what you want to hit? You want to go east or west?
Let's start with the games that came on in chronological order. Let's start with the Raptors and the Pacers.
Oh my God!
I want to hear your thoughts on this, just real quick. Just give it to me, real quick, man.
Okay, all right. Raptors fans, you're not gonna like this. Tass Malice of the starters did it. I think summed it up best. It was a sad flute. It was a sad time. It was a bad time. It brought up bad memories. It probably triggered all of you who saw Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan chucking bricks, mostly. And the defense, the thing I want to highlight, Dwayne Casey, I know, Q, you talked him up to be about a potential Coach of the Year candidate, and what he did this series already verified why I was really questioning his coaching. How do you start Norman Powell in your starting lineup over DeMar Carroll, even though he's just still coming back, but... How do you start Norman Powell to shake things up on the jump? I don't get that. He's not a bad rookie, but like it doesn't make sense to me, and it hurt. It hurt them a lot, I think.
Yeah. Also, I agree.
The other thing I don't understand was, I think a lot of things that came to fruition was, the offense just again because Toronto, I'm pretty sure, is a team that I recall hearing. And watching that they do a lot of isolation plays through Lowry and DeRozan. They're not a very high assisting team.
Yeah.
Because they do a lot of slashing. And if not, they may kick it out to someone who's got the open three in the corner. So, and honestly, listening back to a bunch of podcasts that people were doing predictions and previews, a lot of the stuff hearing it, ironically, did come true. Valanciunas did foul out. He was a foul problem. He's a little bit of a defensive sieve, I think. And Paul George took over the game. He was the best player on the court, and he reminded everybody, I still do this. I was the guy you thought I was up next after LeBron.
Yeah. Echo all those sentiments, man. It's the thing. I really feel bad for Raptor fans because they've wanted this team to do something so much. In the first round, they just continue to hit a brick wall. And I don't know what it is about this team. And, of course, this is only one game. I'm not going to doom them. But I'll tell you right now, what I noticed from this game is that Frank Vogel – had a very, very, very stingy defensive game plan that stifled people like DeMar DeRozan. And
yeah, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
I was just going to say, if DeMar DeRozan can't get going, they have no chance.
Wouldn't you say it relies on either one of DeRozan or Lowry, though?
They have to both contribute. One can be a primary contributor, but one has to also give some support. You can't allow just Kyle Lowry to be the one doing all the work, because that's not going to be enough time. I'm sorry, that's not going to be enough scoring. DeMar DeRozan has to also pitch in. So if Kyle Lowry is going to get you 30, then DeMar has to get you 16, 17. You know what I'm saying? This like, it can't be no Kyle Lowry got 30, but DeMar DeRozan got 2. Like, this isn't one of those things. And the reason why they struggled so much is because they had no answer for Paul George. I think DeMar Carroll looked a little rusty in his debut, since his not debut, but in his return. A little rusty. You know, I'm not going to count the Raptors out. I don't think they're done. But if DeMar DeRozan can't get going, then they are done. And they might get swept.
Yeah. Hold on to your butts, Raptors fans. I think Coach Thorpe on the low post said it best. I don't think game ones have that much of a significant impact, but I think that changes with Toronto, because here's the stat. I think you might know this, Q, but I'm going to throw it out there, is that Raptors haven't had their record in game playoffs. They've only won one game in the playoffs one time.
They've only won one game?
I believe so. Either the stat was they've only won one game in the playoffs, or they've only won game one one time.
Yeah, I think it was one game one time, because I remember Iverson and Vince Carter went to game 7.
Okay.
I believe.
Then maybe that was the correct stat.
Yeah, it was.
I remember one, ESPN one was showing it. Yeah. So I'm going to put it this. Pacers have the third best defensive efficiency. It goes Spurs, Hawks, Pacers, and I think it's Warriors, then Celtics.
Oh, yeah. Just real quick. Can we talk about how good Miles Turner is going to be?
I wanted to bring him up. That dude had 5 blocks in that game. He shut them down internally. Like, Valanciunas did not have an answer for his defense.
Can we just talk about how good this rookie class is and then how great it is contributing to just these, like, Winslow, Turner, Johnson. I'm pretty sure Anderson, even though he was a rookie last year, I love Kyle Anderson had like 2 blocks today and like 3 steals. It was crazy. Yeah, man, these last 2 years, man, it's been something to see.
No, this rookie class was like, even like the later lotto picks are still stud worthy.
And you know, and when we talk about the Hornets, I'm gonna kind of have to give MJ some mean criticism.
Get the cry meme. You got the cry meme ready.
Man, just get every cry meme ready.
I'ma bust his ass for that damn draft night decision, because guess what? Justice Winslow looked like a defensive stud out there. His offense game still isn't great, but the defense is such a he impacts winning. I like Marcus Smart. I tweeted this today.
I love Justice Winslow, but I think what we have to keep in mind, man, is just Miles Turner, for a rookie, he was not scared of that moment. And I think that's what's going to be huge for them, because the Pacers, I like this Pacers team. Even Ty Lawson got in, even though Ty Lawson got in the mix a little bit. And I was like, okay, I see what they're trying to do.
He's thriving in the 6-man role that I think he should have been able to do so, like in Houston, like what he's doing assist wise. And
so we're going to get into Houston. We're going to get into Houston.
Do we have to?
We are going to get Houston. Houston deserves every single bit of criticism that they're about to get anyway. But just like some final takeaways from what I saw from the Raptors.
Who you got?
In this series, I'm taking Pacers in 6.
Oh, all right.
I'm going Pacers in 6. I think Paul George averages 24, 25. I think Miles Turner averages 2 blocks a game.
What about Paul George's assists? Because he was a facilitator in this game.
I think he might get 4 or 5.
I think it's 6.
You think 6? I think 4 or 5 is the under. I think 4 or 5 is the under. The high, he'll probably get the high in the series. He'll probably get 8 or 9. But he was, I think Monte is going to average at least 12, 13, which is a good.
He didn't hurt them. That blew my mind.
Yeah, he wasn't taking wild shots. I think if Monte tries to stay within his, I'm going to be a knockdown shooter, I'm going to get out on the break, I think he could be very, very, very effective. I think he's going to average 12 or 13 points. Miles Turner is going to get 2 blocks. Paul George is going to get 24, 25. And who else was I talking about? CJ Miles. Like that.
He's underrated.
I like that guy a lot. He's a good guy. And if DeRozan cannot get going, they're done in 4, by the way. But if if DeRozan cannot get going, they're done. I'm sorry. Oh. They are done.
Lowry's not enough.
Lowry's not a superstar. He can't do it by himself. Paul George is getting back in that superstar form that he used to be, which is why I could see somebody putting him in. He might have to make my top 8 now. But if he can hold it down, he can do this. Frank Vogel continues to use this stingy defense that they're doing. I love what they're doing on defense.
Right.
They're just denying the ball, getting their hands in the passing lanes. They're stopping Valanciunas from having an effect on the boards as much as he used to, or as much as he should be, because Miles Turner is fighting him for those boards every time. So, yeah, man, I'm loving the game plan defensively. Offensively, they still need some work.
The Pacers' offense, even though their offense is really sluggish and pretty bad, it still, I think their defense helped them a lot turn there into offense, because there was a lot of steals, half-court offense going on in that game.
I think they have a lot of guys who demand the ball. They have a lot of guys who need the ball in their hands. Monte needs the ball in his hand. Oh my! Ty Lawson needs the ball in his hands. Paul George needs the ball in his hands.
George Hill can't be a normal point guard.
Yeah, George Hill's not a knockdown shooter. He needs to have somebody, you know, to give the ball to him. He can't be just a knockdown shooter. So
he can't even fully facilitate like he did when Paul George was out, because last year he got to flesh out more.
True.
I agree. I think Raptors fans, you can hate hard all you want and keep in the comments and tell us that we're wrong and they're going to come back. And I understand it, but I think I need to see it to have questions. I agree with Q's idea. Pacers in possibly 6, but if we see a repeat, because, you know, Kyle Lowry's face showed it all. He was lit on social media. He even said he didn't even go on. If they can't break this mindset thing, then we got sweet potential. All right.
Let's go to the Rockets game.
Rockets. Okay, let's get the positives out the way first for this game. Or the more important thing. Curry's ankle. I don't think it's that big of an issue. They took him out early. He still had 24 points in the half. They didn't need him the rest of the game. I think he'll be fine. I don't think it's as big of a deal. The whole world can breathe a sigh of relief. Because the next game isn't until like Monday or Tuesday. So they're home. They'll get treatment. I think he'll be fine. So now for the fun part. So James Harden, right?
Man, it's not even. It's just so. By the way, before I get into this, I'm watching this Clippers game, and I saw my man Max Rappaport tweet this, and I just really like this tweet. He said, "This is at Max Rappaport, Sixer fan. DeAndre dominating games despite having broken touch and hands worse than Jason Pierre-Paul illustrates why Embiid is such an insane prospect." which is very true, because DeAndre has terrible touch, but he still gets all these rebounds and still gets these points. But Embiid is bigger he's just so much more talented on his feet. And I just had to plug that. So get well, Joel. We are on our way. We're on our way soon. But
Embiid to the Lotto night.
Yeah, send Embiid, please. Yeah, man. But yo, like, here's the thing. James Harden. To that guy in the comments, I hope you're listening to this. I don't even know your name, but I appreciate you comments. I appreciate you watching. I appreciate you disagreeing. You know, I'm not going to be vicious, I'm not going to be venomous with this, but how about that defense, man? James Harden. Nah, dude. I'm sorry. You're not a superstar. You're just not. You can't put him on Chicago and they still have a top 10 defense. You don't put him on Chicago and he fills in Jimmy's spot fine. Now, Jimmy Butler's a two-way player, and you're seeing what a two-way player can do for you in the playoffs. Two-way player is going to affect the games, obviously, two ways. You play good defense, you play good offense. And what James Harden is showing me is that he can't show up in the playoffs. Ever since the Miami series, where he just went ghost, he has not shown up. He just hasn't. And his heart, and by heart, I mean the will to say, you know what, we're down 17 right now, but I'm going to keep coming. I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep shooting, and I'm going to keep doing what I do. I'm going to get back on defense. I'm going to put my hands. I'm going to get my hands in the passing lanes. I'm going to take those charges. I'm going to go for those steals. None of that. I see none of that with him. Don't even get me started on Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard is so fucking garbage. I'm like... Dwight Howard, dude, no. Like, it's gotten to the point where I'm calling him garbage, and I actually mean it. Like, and I actually mean you literally suck at basketball. Like he turned around, like, he had a wide-open dunk, and he blew it off the back iron. And I'm just like, you suck at basketball now, man. Like you really are bad at what you do. Like, I saw him do a jump hook. He missed the entire rim.
Yeah. That's the one I was going to bring up.
He missed the entire rim. Didn't even hit front of the rim. I saw him try to take a charge, and the guy went right past him. Like, it's just bad, man. It's just really bad. And this team deserves everything that it's getting. From firing Kevin McHale, who got you to a Western Conference Finals, to... just dating Khloe Kardashian. Like, this is the perfect season for real. This is exactly what y'all deserve. And for those who think Dwight Howard's not playing because, you know, he's just not inspired, then that's even worse. Because that means that this is what you do when you get dejected. This is what you do when you don't feel like playing. You're in the playoffs, you dumbass. Like, you're in the playoffs and you're acting like a fucking baby, if that's the case. But the other case is you just suck. So either way, it's a lose-lose situation no matter what the reasoning is for Dwight Howard. James Harden, just take the D out of his name and just names him James Harden. Like, dude, James Harden, he is so terrible on defense. Just he just shows no heart. The team... Oh my God, Dwight went for the rebound and Patrick Beverly tried to get the rebound and they both tipped it out of bounds. It was just bad. And I'm going to tell you this right now. If I'm Steve Kerr, I might rest Steph and Clay the whole series. I'm so serious. I'm so serious. They might not need them to beat the Rockets, man. They might not need them. And the thing is, I'm partially kidding, but I'm really not. They could really rest one or the other. But they might be able to get away with resting them both one game and be okay.
Oh, my stomach.
So rest up, Steph. Hashtag rest up, Steph.
Sweep? That's a sweep, right?
Man, I'm going sweep unless Michael Beasley has an out-of-body experience.
Did he even play?
I don't even know what he did. I don't know. I don't remember him. I don't know. Who is the coach? Like, I don't...
Is JB... All right.
Bickerstaff?
Bickerstaff. He's supposed to be some great...
I like him, but...
For interim.
No, I like him.
I don't fully blame... I don't blame anyone in that position because I said this from the day, from the point Mikhail got fired. This is all on the players. You can see how dejected they were. Like, when the Celtics were playing their second-best defense efficiency at that point of the season, when they were blowing Houston out by 30 off steals, and that you saw no transition defense when they lost the ball. Like, James Harden just stood at half court, literally. Like, I just saw, like, this was just awful. And I felt so bad for Kevin McHale. And then I saw that when it happened after, it was ironic. I think it may have been after that Celtics game or the game after. And he was fired. I'm like, that's bullshit, because that's not even his fault. Like, he got on their asses. He lit them up, and they still didn't. Nah. Anyway. Like, here's my problem with Bickerstaff. Those that thought he might be a good coach. Corey Brewer's in your starting lineup. Terrence Jones has been shelved for the entire season, which I think he was a big reason why their defense was so good last season. You have Josh Smith back, who's
the answer.
Playing more minutes over Terrence Jones.
He's the answer.
KJ McDaniels finally got some meaningful minutes, but it took forever. But he's still not playing consistent minutes, so you don't get to see his defensive prowess. Like, he has some nice blocks. What else? Dwight looks dejected as all hell.
So
and he should have went to Milwaukee when he had the chance. He should have fucking opted out. I'm sorry. Excuse my language, but he really should have just opted out. Opted into his contract and just go to Milwaukee like they wanted. Because now there's no way in hell you are getting anything close to max money. You are out of your mind, Dwight. I understand get your money, but dude. Dude, you have stuff on a – I think it best encapsulates in this tweet. Like, say he's going to Mark Cuban in the offseason. I forgot. I think it's Dan Favale on Twitter. Dwight says he's trying to get max money shot, and then says Cuban shows his phone of a Vine where he missed that hook shot. And it's just like, you can't be serious.
He's playing like shit, dude. I'm sorry. It's just
Also, the most interesting thing, yeah, the Patrick Beverley scuffle. Okay, I want to throw this out there. This might be a hot take.
Okay.
Do we consider, is Patrick Beverley a good defender?
Don't do this. Don't do this.
Because I see he's good. Literally thinking he's a good defender.
He's good in the way that, I'm trying to think of a comparison. He's not Tony Allen. He's not Avery Bradley.
No.
I'll give you that. No. Okay. But he's like two tiers above Deli. But like,
yeah, okay.
But like, okay. three tiers below, like a Marcus Smart. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So can we agree that
he's a mid level? He's a mid level defender. Like,
okay. Can we agree that the primary like thing about his defense is his quote unquote peskiness to like try to like get in your face like the, like before the game where he literally got up in Steph's grill for the dap, and then just. And then hooked up the arm, and that started the whole scuffle.
Well, I mean, he has that. He's a good defender in the way that Lance was that one year. You know what I mean? Like, Lance's defense, like, his footwork was fucking trash, but no one cared because.
But I'm a blow in your ear.
Yeah, no, like, no one cared because he was fast enough to keep up with people, and he got his hands on the ball a lot. So that made people say, oh, he's a good on-ball defender. No, he's not really a good on-ball defender. He's just. Good. He's just fast enough to keep up with people, and he puts his hands. You know how to use his hands, and that's what can make a better than average defender. Which I think what Patrick Beverley is, he's a above average defender. He's just not. Okay. He's just not an exceptional defender.
Like some people like really thought like, I don't know. I saw some things that people were really trying to like make it out like he's like. I don't want to say a Curry stopper, but their only answer to like slow him down. And I didn't believe it for a minute.
Yeah, which is, you know, which makes last year's series, last year's finals, such an aberration, man. Like, how did Deli do that? I still don't know how he did it. I have to go back and watch that tape. But
well, Steph wasn't where he is now, number one. And number two, I think you're right where you say that it's part of, like, the antics. Because I'm gonna throw this out there again. I wish I could find this tweet right now. Oh my god, I'll have to find it later maybe. Deli's the type of defender who may do those quote unquote dirty plays, i.e. Kyle Korver, Al Horford, Taj Gibson, what he did to them in last playoffs, where he'll quote unquote do hustle plays, but in the meantime it goes too physical and
a little dirty.
Actually cause people it may cause to hurt people.
It's a little dirty.
But, like, it's like the getting in your face, like... I'll put it this way. LeBron wanted an enforcer on his team, a la Kendrick Perkins, what he did to Jay Crowder in the first round series last year. Well, Dele can be your enforcer because he's willing to do those type of plays.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. It's a sweep for me. There's no chance in hell. Some people actually thought the Rockets could maybe get one because of James Harden's offensive game, which I don't even think is close to enough with the way the defense was locked up on them. And it was a joke. They clowned Houston. You're going to have so much overtime. Let me put this this way. Corey Brewer was your starting power forward. He was better as a sixth man for you last year.
God bless that team. I don't know what's going on, but just blow it up, Daryl Morey.
We better hope he has his job because he's not a bad GM. But this man,
this team is a mess. This team is a mess. I don't like anyone on this team. That's how much I don't like this team. The only person I like on this team is Trevor Ariza
and KJ McDaniels.
I'm sorry. People who get playtime, the only people I like is Trevor Ariza.
Okay. I agree with you.
Just trade KJ, please. Let's get him off this team. He needs to go to send him to the Clippers. I don't know. You can get some play. Okay. That'd be good there. I don't know. They got a lot of forwards, but dude. Yeah. Anyway. Team is trash. This is a sweep.
The Jazz should have made it.
A sweep if I ever seen one. Just God bless, because that's all I gotta say is God bless. Because Steph, just sit out. Just sit these next three games, man. You don't need it, and they don't need you to beat this team.
T-rash. All right.
Exactly. Next one. Who is it?
That was the first one. All right. Most entertaining game matchup of the series, in my opinion. Celtics.
Go ahead. I really don't have a lot of thoughts on it. Can I just give you mine real quick, and I'm gonna let you just
go for it.
There's gonna be two things that happen. Either the Celtics fall apart after Bradley's injury, or they step it up. And they take them like six great games, but the Hawks still take the series. I think the only way that the Celtics win this series is if Isaiah Thomas puts on an absolute clinic. If the young guys step up, and by step up I mean Smart has to step up, and so does what's his name?
Rozier.
Yeah, Terry Rozier. That's the only way. Their guards the Celtic guards have to ball out. They have to play good defense. They have to stay within themselves. And they got to listen to Coach Stevens and just put the team above themselves. If they do that, there is a chance this goes to seven. They could eke out a win and move on. But if they can't, and Bradley's defense was stopping Teague, see, here's the mismatch. The mismatch is the Hawks have some good bigs. The Hawks have Horford, who can step out, hit a 15 to 18 footer, and that can draw people like Jared Sollinger out of the paint. Yeah. And the thing is, the Horford is so skilled that he can splash those in people's faces. So he's that skilled. But without Bradley now, that means Teague has the ability to get off now. So that's the biggest danger. But if Smart can step up and take Bradley's spot, then they have a chance because there's only one point. So I think Stevens, if Smart can step up, and he can play that defense that Avery was playing on Teague, he has a nice chance because one point can be decided. Because I remember Jarebko, when he got open on that genius play out of that timeout, the last
seconds,
that was amazing. Jarebko missed that. I was really disappointed. I cannot believe that RJ didn't get in the game for at least a couple shots.
He did, because we were desperate in that first half.
But not that one. That was a perfect RJ play right there. I can't believe they didn't do that. Yeah. But, yeah, that's the only way that they're going to win this series is if Smart steps up. And I already know Stevens is going to make adjustments. Smart has to step up. Smart is the key. If you can get Smart to step up, then you're going to win. If you can't get Smart to step up and you can't contain Horford, then this is done in six. Yep.
Okay. Good. So I agree with a lot of your points. Marcus Smart was my X factor from the jump. And he did – my God, I didn't even know Phillips Arena was actually a hot spot of his. I thought the only hot spot that I knew of was the Oklahoma City area since he played for Oklahoma and all. Yeah. But apparently he does very well in Phillips Arena. I didn't know he shot that well there. And even more ironically, it was after he got a bruised knuckle. The first half, it was a tale of two halves, just like this Heat game. That was fantastic in the second half again.
We're going to talk about that?
Yes. That was basically, and I told Kyle this, and everyone else can now see, this game, this series will be a dogfight. This will be two great basketball coaches, Budenholzer and Stevens, going back and forth and trying to adjust, and the Celtics will have to go small. I think Marcus Smart, again, in terms of if I had to like rank defense priority and like the best on the team in perimeter defending, Avery's first. I'd put Marcus second and then Crowder third because he doesn't have to defend the perimeter as much because he's got the versatility on the wing so much more, but he can do it. But I would put, in terms of priority, I put Smart second. So I think he can still do it. The way he defends is differently. Avery does it with his quickness to do around positioning and anticipation, whereas Smart has, I think, better positioning, so he doesn't have to worry. He doesn't have to rely on so much as quickness because he's just so damn – yes, Smart with his defense that he can use his positioning to, I think, compensate for maybe not having the same amount of speed as Avery. And his core strength is something else. As you saw on that last 0.4-second play, he got that ball away from Al Horford and tried to lob it up from, like, past half court and almost made it. So, yeah, she's going to step up in the shooting guard. And there is an article, Hardwood Houdini, that has the net differential showing that Smart and Isaiah was honestly a better backcourt combo than Avery IT back in the first part of the season where Stevens was still trying things out.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wanted that to be the thing and let Avery thrive as a six man because he was killing it. But that's not what they chose. It's not what they chose, but I'm not mad at it. But I was really hoping because I wanted Smart to get more off the ball practice. But anyway, yes, he has to step up. The defense is key. He's so good. I think he can do it. The offense is the big issue. Can he get it clicking? Because, yes, he still has some issues with his shooting sometimes. But as he showed in the second half, the problem was that the first half, they just couldn't make shots. Yes, the Celtics are one of the worst shooting field goal teams. But, ironically enough, it's when the shots are uncontested, too. That's the frustrating part. They have such good looks. Like, Stevens wasn't mad in that first half in terms of the shots they got. He couldn't even remember 5 3-pointers off the top of his head that were bad shots. They just couldn't make them in the second half. And they lit up just to keep things in check. That third, the last time they played the Hawks, they were in a shootout and they were making all these shots. Like, this team can get the looks and can get those opportunities. It's just they gotta make them. So I think the Celtics can still win it. And ironically enough, Chris Forsberg from ESPN mentioned this, that I didn't even fully realize this, but this whole season, there's been always been one guy out throughout the majority of the season, and the team has stepped up, so they're used to this. In the culture, as Smart said it, we lost one of our brothers, but we got to step up, and I'm ready to take that responsibility if need be.
You know,
he's got that mindset.
You know, I just think it's very, very saddening because I really do feel for Celtics fans. You know, as much as I've been in my moments where I hate the Celtics because they played the Sixers a lot, every time the Celtics get on a playoff run, man, some shit always has to happen. And, you know, whether it's KG's knee or Perk goes out or, you know, Rondo's knee or Rondo's shoulder or Bradley's shoulder or Jeff Green's shoulder. Like, it's some shit fucker things, man. Like, it is just terrible, man. It's always something. And I think this highlights, I think Danny Ainge knows The Celtics need a big man. The Celtics need a big man. They need a post presence that can step out and shoot. Like, they need their Towns. You know, and that's everyone needs a Towns. But the thing is, though, is that the Celtics really need it. Because as much as I love Solinger, I think Solinger is a complimentary piece to a star. I think that they could find the post presence, and I'm not just saying this because I think it would be good for to get picks out of it. But I really would like to see Okafor play there, because I think that would actually help. The like pick and roll offense would be great with IT in him.
And not even IT, with Smart. Did you see some of his passes in the second half that he made, like, literally under the basket?
Yeah, he was doing he was doing some wizardry down there.
Yeah, like that court vision. That's why I said, like, a Smart and Okafor pick and roll would be nice. But anyway.
Yeah, but yeah, man, I got if I have to pick right now, I'm going Hawks in six.
I'm not mad at you.
I would love to see the Celtics win it. Just for the just so I can see the apologetic tweets from Kyle. Hey, man, it is what it is. I guess it is what it is.
Let's be fair. I tweeted him because I wanted to send him the Vine, because I've been trying to tell Kyle about Avery Bradley since before the Celtics played the Warriors in that double overtime game, that Avery Bradley can stop Steph Curry. And he showed it, and I showed him the Vine where he literally locked up Teague. Got him on all positions. Teague's trying to post around, juke.
Whatever. Yeah, I saw that.
Shot. Bradley blocked him down right there with a stare down, like he does with Dwayne Wade. Like, that's what I said. His defensive impact. Like, you when we talk about whoever wins this series, you cannot ignore this, Kyle. Just so you know. And he's like, dude, it sucks to lose like your best players. He admitted that it sucks.
Yeah, man. It's just I know all about losing my best player. Sad, but
I'm gonna try to be optimistic. I think this game series can potentially go to seven. This may be my green teamer in me, but I still think the Celtics can pull it off, because I think what we saw in that what Marcus Smart pulled through in that second half, he's been kind of pulling off. Like, like I told you, he impacts winning. He tries to make those, like, when he stole that ball from Teague, literally, when Teague tried to go for a lob, he literally snatched it like the Cobra. And he literally went up and then got the transition play, and then got the offensive rebound, right, to put it back in. Like, it's just those things. Like, I think that next level, this could come out of him this series.
Yeah, I don't know what his ceiling is as a player in this league.
Right.
I don't know if he'll ever be a Westbrook. I don't know if he'll ever be a Wall. I don't know if he'll ever be a Damian Lillard. But I damn sure know he's going to be that guy who gets that steal, or just he gets that block to seal a series. And I think he'll always be that guy if he continues to. Because, man, you know, here's what I think. And this is pretty damn good. People don't realize this, but this would be pretty damn good. I think he would be able to affect series the same way like a Dennis Rodman in Detroit affected series. And if you told me that as a player, I would be just ecstatic, because what Dennis did is he was a tenacious rebounder. And I'm not saying like this what his exact attributes would be, but just in the vein of affecting the game, doing the small things, Dennis was a demon rebounder. He was a demon on the boards. He got after the ball on the floor. He went for every loose ball. He wants that 50-50 ball more than you. And I think Smart can bring that type of energy that Dennis did with steals. He can bring it with, like I said, jumping on the floor, jumping on every single ball. I think he's going to out-hustle you. I think he's going to go for those chase-down blocks. And I think he could be that guy. He could be that guy. And if he could add a knockdown three, I think you're good enough. I think that's good enough. And, I mean, if he does exceed those, you know, parameters, then good on him. But right now, I think he's very raw offensively still. But his ceiling, I have him being the heart and soul of a championship team's like defense.
Yeah, I have no problems with that. I agree, because ironically enough, he's like Westbrook, one of the top offensive rebounding guards in the league. Him and Terry Rozier. Yeah. So there's certain key things that he does that I don't know what to peg him as a ceiling, but I still think there's definitely something that tapped in. And when he's hitting those knockdown shots like he did in Oklahoma, like he did in Orlando, and like he did last night to impact the, like those threes, there Atlanta was like looking on the damn the scouting matchup is like, this wasn't in the report, man.
Hell yeah.
He's got this. There's something there. So yeah, it can still go either way. I don't think it's a lock. It's just gonna be. I think this could go seven. I'm not. I understand of those that pick the Hawks, but I don't want to count the Celtics out either. So I think they could steal one. We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
But like I said, I think it's the most entertaining series besides maybe Clippers in Portland.
Yeah. Next series that we're going to talk about, I'm going to just give you a word. Sweep. OKZ, Dallas.
Oh. Sweep. Oh.
Sweep.
Oh, good God.
Sweep. I'm sorry. Oh. I have no other words. Dirk, I love you, man. Sweep.
If it wasn't for, like, all the injuries, I mean.
Sweep.
I don't want to knock Carlisle off, but, man, he.
Bring those brooms out.
Oh, my God.
That broom is the dustpan, the broom.
Like, so, I'm going to give him one more game. To figure it out. Nah. Carlisle's going to be in his laboratory.
Yeah, all right. Are you serious? All right. I'm sorry.
I'm not ready.
I'm sorry. So you mean to tell me that he's going to figure out a way for Darren Williams to guard Russell Westbrook?
I don't know if it's supposed to be Darren Williams.
No, it's going to be Darren Williams trying to. All right. I'm sorry. Raymond Felton is going to dig deep. I got this, you guys. It's not going to be him. It's going to be JJ Barea. It says, no, I got this.
God damn it.
No matter where you slice it, one of these overweight point guards is going to have to guard Russell Westbrook, the most athletic specimen we've seen at point guard in NBA history.
Oh, my God. I don't want to. Okay, let me put it this way. I still got OKC to win. I don't want to sweep. out of respect for Rick Carlisle.
Who's their small forward? Chandler's out.
Hold on. Oh God.
Exactly. Who's gonna guard KD?
This is bad. Let me look.
Is JaVale gonna come out of nowhere?
He just played in the last game. We had playoff JaVale.
This is bad. This is crisis on Planet Dallas. This is not happening.
Oh my God. But who the hell was playing? It wasn't Anderson. Who started?
No one knows. It's a mystery.
Oh my God. What box score? Here we go. Let me see. Wait a minute.
Was it Wesley? No, he's shooting guard.
No. Okay, that video was playing. Sorry about that. Yeah, I think the starting five was Darren, Barea, Mejri, Nowitzki, and Wesley. So, yeah, I think they shifted Wesley to the three.
Oh,
my God.
Oh, it's bad. Oh, I'm sorry, God. Dude. Sweep. I'm sorry. Sweep, man. I love you, Carlisle, but there's no way. There's no way. I would do it if Dirk was 25 again. Yes, but no. No, there's no way. Dirk by himself could get you one game if he was young again. No.
Oh, my God.
No. Four.
I'm sorry, Rick Carlisle.
Four. Oh, all right, we are moving on. We are moving on to the next day. All right, this is a good series. Cleveland, Detroit.
Oh, this is much more fun.
I'm gonna get this out the way. I think that.
Yeah, Q. Before you do that,
what's up?
I want you to give you more details because I didn't get to watch this game fully. I know you did, so I want you to break it down because I didn't get to catch it all.
Yeah.
Lay it on me. What'd you get?
What I got out of this game is everything I said was right. You know, I'm always right. It's always right. You know, it's all
the real couch god, Peter.
It's all good.
Recognize him.
It's all good. What I recognized from this game is that LeBron James is a superstar. I can't lie. I love LeBron's game. don't respect his decision to leave Miami. I never have. I never will. And we'll get to why after this. But just from the analytics and just from the perspective of a person watching the game, Detroit is in this series. Detroit is not going anywhere anytime soon. Detroit is going to be here until the fat lady sings. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to tell you that Andre Drummond is a huge mismatch for Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson can't handle him. Andre Drummond has post moves. He rebounds just like Tristan Thompson, which Tristan has never seen someone who gets after it like him. And I think that Drummond poses a huge threat for the Cavaliers. Another reason. I really like Reggie Jackson. I like that he gets angry. You know, he has like that pissed off point guard type of mentality. He has that, you know, Isaiah Thomas type of thing.
Yeah, he does. You can really see it in his dribbling too, though.
You know, there's
like he kind of pounds it in his crossover.
Yeah, and this is like I respect it because it's just like, you know, he just wants it so bad, and I just like it about him. Morris, he was doing so great the first half. He had 18, I believe, or 19 the first half. In the second half,
he scored
a point in the second half. Dude, no, that's going to get fixed. Stan Van Gundy's going to make sure he's going to make sure that he gets his second half points. Stanley Johnson, I have to say, might be the best defender
X-factor
on LeBron on that team.
X-factor?
Yeah, and I was talking to Ken on Twitter about this. Yep. And I said that just imagine being a 19-year-old Stanley Johnson. It's your first playoff series, and you're going to be Hall of Fame coach. Your future Hall of Fame coach comes to you and says, I'm going to need you to be the primary defender on LeBron James because you're the only hope that we have. That is the tallest task for a 19-year-old to take, but Stanley was not backing down. Stanley was yes, sir. Stanley was acting like a grown-ass man. I would have thought that defense, like if I didn't know who Stanley Johnson was, I would have thought that was a 10-year vet playing against LeBron. And I'm not just saying that. Like I really think he was getting good position on LeBron. He was denying him the ball, and he was making it tough for him to score. I'm not saying he would shut him down. I'm not saying that he would, you know, destroy him like Kawhi did 2014. No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying simply is he was playing very good defense on him. He was making it tough. He was being a nuisance. And that's all you can be on LeBron at 19 years old. And that's all you could be on LeBron at 29 years old for a lot of people. So for him to do that, fantastic. Another observation that I was seeing was Detroit, when they get a lead, Detroit has to stay confident. Detroit has to stay on the attack. They have to have this mentality of, I want to beat the shit out of Cleveland. They can't have a mentality of, oh, we're up six. That's good. Just try and keep that lead. No, no, no. Don't keep that lead. Push that lead. Have the mentality of, we want to beat the shit out of Cleveland. They have to have that foot on your neck type of mentality. And for Cleveland to come back in that game, that was all LeBron James. That was all LeBron. That was all LeBron. And it was simply because LeBron was in the huddle. They put that bench in. By the way, Cleveland's bench is horrendous. I'm sorry. Cleveland's bench is just awful. They are awful. Yeah, Richard Jefferson hit a couple threes here and there. But, dude, what does Iman Shumpert do on offense?
Oh, my God.
It's bad on offense.
Wait. Was Channing Frye even in the game?
I don't even know, man. I didn't even see him.
I'm looking on the stats right now.
I didn't see him. I
don't see his name.
No, he didn't play then because I think he was he didn't play. Just like wrapping it up, I really like Detroit. I think that they have to pound that mismatch inside. I think Reggie just needs to calm down. I think he needs to just take more shots, actually, which is kind of crazy, but Reggie needs to take more shots. Morris needs to take more shots, and Caldwell Pope.
Sure about that?
I think Morris needs to take
Because they had high volume. Jackson had 12. Morris had 14.
I think Reggie needs to take 15 shots a game.
Okay.
I think Morris needs... How many did Morris have?
Morris had 14 shots.
I think Morris could get to 15 shots. I'm not saying that would be big, but, you know, that'd be a big thing. But I think they both need to take at least 15 shots a game. Because they're high volume scorers, you know? They have to.
Well, Morris is definitely.
But they just have to do that to get going. Drummond had a couple floaters that didn't fall, but he's gonna be ready to go. I can tell. Dude, this is going seven. This is going seven, hands down. I really like Detroit in this series.
Actually, I'm gonna back you up. The stats back you up on
If I have to call this series,
seven and an upset. You want to do it?
I'm gonna go Detroit in seven. I'm gonna go Detroit in seven.
Let's go.
I'm going Detroit. I'm got my money on D Town, man. Let's go.
Oh man, BZ shaking his head right now.
Can I just do my BZ impression real quick? He's gonna be like, man, Q, you didn't, Q, I mean, we all right, man, but you crazy with that. Then I'm gonna be like, BZ, man, you tripping, bro. I mean, y'all got this, man. We all right, man. We all right. So, you know, BZ. But yeah, man.
I want to back you up on this stat-wise. If he starts Stanley Johnson over maybe Morris or Harris, depending. Actually, it might be Harris because I read the Roto World blurb that he was struggling defensively on.
He was.
Stanley Johnson had a positive plus minus, and the thing I want to bring up about this is Tim Kawakami, a beat reporter for the Warriors, who had a tweet that I wanted to bring up about plus minus, that it shows also the impact defensively what you have with your team. Stanley Johnson had a plus one out of all the starters who had negatives. Steve Blake was the only other positive. He was a six. But again, Johnson, if he got thrusted into the lineup over one of those wings, this could be like how Boston just finally decided Jay Crowder should start over Evan Turner in game four. If Van Gundy does this sooner, I think we see this thing starting to have some momentum.
I think so too. I think they need to put Tobias to the bench just for a game. See how it goes. They have to get this game. I'm gonna tell you right now, if they don't get this game, then they lose the series. But they have to win this next game. And I think Detroit is up for it, man. I really like what they're doing. They only lost by five. They were ahead six with 4 minutes left in the game. I believe so.
Do you feel that shooting, those 15 three-pointers, which was a career playoff high, I mean a playoff high record, you feel that's sustainable?
If it's not sustainable, then it's going to be redistributed somewhere else. If it's not going to be open threes, then they're going to work inside to Drummond more, and that's more food.
That's what I thought you'd
say. And that's more food for Drummond to eat, so.
Okay. I like it. I want to see it go seven. I know the Cavs are the favorite, as they should be, but I think people are really underestimating Detroit. Again, they match up very, very well. And if Stanley Johnson comes in that starting lineup, I think you're going to see some impact. So,
and there's some playoff experience on this Detroit team. You know, you got it in Reggie. By the way, Reggie had experience when I believe Westbrook was out. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That series against Memphis that – Westbrook was there. It was the whole year. I think it was
He was there when they. Go ahead.
I think it was Reggie played when Westbrook got injured when Patrick Beverley did that hit job on him. And then Reggie, I think Reggie played when it was just KD, right? And I think he has experience as being the primary ball handler in a hostile situation. Steve Blake has major experience with being with Kobe, which is going to come in handy. You have major experience in Jeff. I'm sorry, Stan Van Gundy.
Right.
and a couple other players on that squad, like Jody Meeks, you know, some
Steve Blake.
Yeah, like I said, Blake. Steve Blake with Kobe.
Was Reggie Jackson there when the Thunder went to the finals in 2012?
No, he was not, but he was there many times after. There's been you remember that series where Zach Randolph got suspended in that game seven? I think he was the primary ball handler in that series because Westbrook was out. I don't remember. I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But either way, and I'm very, very, very excited to see what the series unfolds with, because if Tobias goes to the bench, I think that gives them a much needed scoring off their bench. But by the way, I like that Bullet Kid too. So shout out to BZ. I like that Bullet Kid. He hit like 2 threes.
Oh, okay.
I like him a lot.
Yep. I think it's interesting. I think people don't write that off because Cleveland is not a lock, and Ken realized that.
Oh, yes.
They are not a lock.
No, they're not a lock.
And then we had
Miami.
Miami and Charlotte. All right, I'm gonna say this first before you go off. I'm gonna say this first. I tweeted this out on the account.
Yeah.
I still didn't believe in Charlotte, and I know they maybe eat crow. When they made the playoffs, and I thought they would just barely miss it. They made me eat crow once, but I don't think I'm gonna eat crow twice.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't believe, and ironically enough, the thing that they do well in defensive rebounding, they were pummeled in this game, like historically almost.
They got shit
like,
on.
At the half, I think it was like a 23-9 rebounding.
Oh my god!
It was not good.
It was bad.
It was very bad. Like that lead broke open, and that net differential, but you saw like the Heat what they were doing.
Shit show.
Ken is now a Whiteside believer. I said he should be top five consideration, and now he's proving everybody why I was right. But he still has a lot of post errors. Even Shaq called him out for it. He had some dumb moves. So he's not like a like a best center in the league, but he's still a very dominant presence. Charlotte has to adjust, I think, either when they came out flat, because that body language was not good. They were destroyed in the pick and roll. Every time Whiteside rolled, he was wide open. Like, I don't understand how, like, their defense was not this bad that I recall. Like, they got eviscerated in the pick and roll. It was bad.
I don't really have much to say. I think the Heat take this in five.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think the Heat take it. I think the Heat take it in five. I think that Charlotte shows some fucking pride, because not only like I've never been mad watching a playoff game. You know?
Until now.
Yeah, I was mad watching this game, and the reason I'm gonna tell you why. Usually, when teams get shitted on, it's like I feel bad because they're really trying. This is actually real, real, really sad. Charlotte gave up.
The Celtics did against the Hawks.
Charlotte gave up, and I was pissed off at that because Clifford he doesn't deserve that, and Kemba doesn't deserve that, and Kemba has to have more respect for himself, and he has to go harder, because I was very, very, very saddened and very angry at just the lackadaisical approach and just the whatever, we're down 20, fuck it. I hate saying that. Show some fucking pride, put your shoulders back, pick your head up, and let's play, you know. And Joe Johnson was shitting on Marvin Williams all night. It was just bad. It was bad, man. Oh my god, D-Wade was hitting fallback jumpers. It was just Whiteside.
It was some vintage.
No, it was definitely vintage. Vintage, it was definitely vintage.
Yeah.
Dude, Whiteside was just alley-oop dunking on everybody.
Oh,
Dragic looked like he was in a groove. I'm going to tell you right now, everyone looked like the best version of themselves. And that is
Luol Deng. Luol Deng.
Every person on that Heat team looked like the best version of themselves. But let's talk about this with pause. Because that Charlotte defense was more porous than SpongeBob. That shit had more holes in it than Swiss cheese. That Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles could have ran a two-man game on that defense. That shit was awful. Dude, D-Wade went in the paint. He didn't even meet a body. He just went right in. Nobody's around.
Oh, yeah, there was a shot. Like, he literally got – he had wide open lane, and he just cupped in a couple.
Dude, it was just – they had a – dude, it was a lane open – dude, they needed a fucking traffic cop. That's how much a fucking lane was open. They needed to be calling a damn traffic cop. It was that bad. It was a really bad game. And the thing is, this is a Heat team that I have contending with Cleveland if they make it past Detroit, which I don't think they, which I'm not gonna say think they will, but I hope that they don't. Dude, everyone look like the best version of themselves. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm just gonna say this. It took two amazing shots from Steph Curry for Miami to get beat by Golden State. And I know that was a regular season game, but that had a playoff atmosphere. And I know everyone likes to talk about how Cleveland's the only team that can match up with Golden State.
No.
But the Heat have some good players, and they have some shooters now. They got Gerald Green. They got Josh Richardson. Dorian Wright came in the game, hit two threes. And by the way, Rionte Weber from VCU, I love this kid. I love this kid. And he got signed. I love this. I like this Heat team more than I like the LeBron era team.
Burn.
So I'm gonna go Heat in five. Kemba, show some pride. He'll probably step up a game and get him a little narrow 5-6 point win. But other than that, man, MJ cry is imminent.
Oh man, MJ, you're a damn fool for not taking those draft picks for the Celtics to get Justice Winslow because he's making you look stupid. For Frank the Tank. All right, I'm gonna get on a little mini thing. Frank the Tank has no role right now because of how many players you have loaded on this roster. Big Al still has post moves because he made Whiteside look stupid at times for his post defense. Shaq pointed that
out. He's just old as shit, man.
Yeah, because the damn knee, ever since that, he hasn't been 100% the same, but he still has the footwork and the smarts to get his post moves and make those guys' interior look bad, like Whiteside. But either they make an adjustment or they play to their defense that they were, or they have to prove me wrong that it wasn't just overachievement. I still got the Heat in this. I think it could be six. A lot of people, if you guys are listening to other podcasts, a lot of people were thinking Heat in seven because they thought this was like contending for the best entertaining lineup over Hawks Celtics, but I disagreed with it, and as it showed, this was a big, you know, dampener on that type of prediction. So either they make an adjustment, or I think he was right.
They no. The thing is, what I'm gonna tell you why they have no adjustment is because they have no one to stop Whiteside. When the only person who can stop Whiteside on this team is Whiteside, and
well, I think okay.
I'll ahead. Tell you why, because Whiteside, if he gets in his own head, he's his own worst enemy. But on the Hornets, they have no one who can defend that pick and roll. I'm sorry, there's no one quick enough to do it. Whiteside is faster than Big Al, he's faster than Zeller, he's faster than Kaminsky, and he can jump higher than all of them. So you're either going to foul Whiteside or he's going to dunk on you. I don't see anybody who can stop this Miami team on Charlotte.
That's a good point. The only way I thought – when I say make an adjustment, excuse me, I don't think it's necessarily like switching the lineup at all. I think it's more so their perimeter defense has to step up, kind of like the Celtics in a sense, like play like them for – because the Heat don't play well against the Celtics. They haven't at all season. If they can get their defense to get them to turn the ball over and if they can improve their rebounding – they have a shot.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I've given him shit over the years. Just a quick wrap up point, but I really have to give respect to Eric Spoelstra. He's completely transformed this team from being the clunky, the ball doesn't move, you know, sticky, you know, type of offense that they were with Bosch to being this new 2016 small ball team. And that is why I think they can contend with a team like Golden State, because they have a
small ball lineup.
Their small ball lineup is the lineup that they use.
With who?
Just everybody.
Whiteside.
Yeah, even with Whiteside. Whiteside with Bogut.
Okay.
That's fine.
No, wait. The death lineup for Golden State is Draymond at the five.
Yeah.
You got Iguodala, Clay, Steph, Harrison.
Yeah, I'm saying
that's Miami small ball.
Their small ball lineup.
Stoudemire
at the five. Then I think you put what's his name at the four. You put Joe Johnson at the four.
I thought Deng was at the four.
Is it Deng? I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Deng. I'm sorry. So you put Amari at the five.
At the three.
You put Deng at the four. You put
Johnson at.
You put Johnson at the three. Put Wade at the two and Rajic at the one.
Okay.
That lineup can contend. Dragic is actually a sneaky defender. People don't really give him any credit, but he's...
Well, that's as best as he's defended in a long time. Nate Duncan pointed that out.
Yeah, he was actually pretty good today. He was really good today, and I have to give him that credit. I really like this Josh Richardson kid. He is a steal from Memphis. Memphis is crazy for letting him go, but I love this team. I think they have major potential.
His three ball is back. It's not broken right now. So as long as he doesn't slump again, then he'll be impactful. But he can make a difference. He's just got to be more.
And Amari is back, low key. Like Amari, I'm gonna say not back, but Amari has accepted his later stage in the NBA role of being just the vet who comes in and gets you. Eight or 10 points, 5 rebounds, and just call it a day. I like that. I like players who know who they are now. Amari went from trying to be the guy on the Knicks to trying to just hold on to any sliver of youth that he had to being, you know, I am the OG. I am the guy wearing the goggles with, you know, the old Moses haircut. I'm gonna just be this guy. And I like that about Amari Stoudemire now. 10 points, 5 rebounds, straight. It's great. D-Wade, back. Joe Johnson, balling like he never left. Still a closer, still an ISO Joe. Love it. Whiteside, fantastic player. Going to be one of the best centers in the league in a couple of years, if not already the best center in the East.
Oh, I think he's top five.
Yeah, I think he's right there. He probably is top five if I thought about it, but I'm going to just give him one of the best title right now.
Okay.
Yeah, man, love this team. I think they're gonna beat them a five. So who do we have next? Oh, let's go.
Grizzly Spurs.
This is gonna be.
I'm gonna put this out there first. In the first half, I was shocked that it was close. Still, then the third quarter happened, and it got right back to where I thought it was.
I'm still saying sweep.
Oh, yeah. That didn't change for me.
I'm still saying sweep.
If it kept up it for 48 minutes, then I would have said, hold on now. Maybe we got to give them one.
I'm still saying sweep.
No.
Sweep. I'm still going with the Spurs to win the NBA Finals.
Kawhi literally grabbed the ball so many times for transition points.
Kawhi just wants it, man. Kawhi wants it. He doesn't care because – I just love players who don't give a fuck. And that's what Kawhi Leonard is. Kawhi doesn't give a fuck. He just plays his game. He doesn't care about, you know, being the face of, you know, the league. He doesn't care. You know, most guys would care about their branding at this stage.
Not Kawhi.
Kawhi's a nigga. I'm still using my 93 Honda. Like, fuck out of here. I love it. I love seeing this team play. Not so much where I will probably watch all the games, but I love watching this team play. I really hope Tim gets his sixth ring. Don't have much to say. Sweep.
Other than to keep this in mind, people, Tim Duncan still has such a major defensive impact. He could still make all defense third team at least, because His defensive rating for the year is like around 95, 96. He's still a defensive anchor. He is still, his offense is not the same, but his defense is still so good. It's unreal.
I don't know what meteor he came down on, but he's an alien, man. I love him. Love Tim Duncan. Always got to appreciate Tim. And right now, the game that's going on, Clippers.
How they doing? What's the score?
I believe the Clippers only up like 4 at halftime last time I checked. Let me check right now.
No. We got third quarter. I got 45-54.
Who's up?
Clippers.
Okay.
But the Portland's offense hasn't exploded yet. It's been a consistent 21-21.
I have Clippers in 6.
So, just like that, huh?
I have the Clippers in 6. I think it's going to be great games, though.
I got Clippers in 7. There's two things I want to bring up that I was listening to David Thorpe on the Low Post that he brought up to me that I did not know about or recognize. The defense is very good for the Clippers. It's not... I think it's top 10 in defensive efficiency. I don't think it's the absolute like shutdown thing. It's still significant. But I don't think it's gonna be to the point where it's a lockdown game. And I think Portland's offense could push that. So I think it could go 7. The Clippers could win it in 7, but I'll say this. I think this one could still have upset potential.
Really?
The Clippers should be favored. The Clippers should be favored. Don't get me wrong. Do not get me wrong. The Clippers should be favored.
Wow.
They should be favored to win in 7.
You know, I think...
I got something in me that is telling me there is upset. Go ahead. I cut you off.
No, I'm just thinking because Damian Lillard, man... He has such a microwave, man. He can heat up anytime and drop 40, drop 50 if he wants. But I'm just thinking about the fact that there's such a mismatch inside for the Clippers. And plus, the thing is, the Clippers bigs can run. That's what's big about them. It's not just the fact that they have nice, you know, scoring, and they have, and DeAndre, a defensive anchor, but DeAndre runs the floor, and Blake runs the floor, and Chris Paul's obviously one of the best guards in the NBA that we have today. So that combination of two bigs who can run the floor, and you have one of the best guards who can also has an underrated 3-point shot, by the way, Chris Paul.
How is it underrated?
People don't really give him that credit. People always think that he's just, you know, oh, he's an assist, you know, greatest assist that we have. But we no one ever talks about the fact that Chris Paul's three-pointer is wet. Like, he's a really good three-point shooter. And I don't think that's highlighted enough. I'm not going to say underrated, but it's not highlighted enough. You know what I'm saying? People realize it, okay. But it's not highlighted like it should be. And I think...
Go ahead. I want to add this. I'm looking at the stats right now.
So,
If things persist the way they are right now, then Clippers are a lock to win. Because they're still getting their field goal. Like, all the Clippers players, the starters, are all huge positives. Chris Paul at a positive 19. Redick, 17. Jordan, 16. Griffin, 13. Even Mbah Mute is a plus 12.
Like it.
And their field goal percentage is at 53.5.
I like it, man. I really...
Portland's at 34.
I like it. I like this team. I hope they meet the Warriors. Man, that would be interesting.
Yeah. Terry Stotts either changes something up or... Apparently, the Clippers have made a play. I didn't get to finish this. Thorpe mentioned on the Low Post that they have a play that they kind of made, created accidentally called... You can call it like a Z or an L or a pinch screen.
Yeah.
Where Chris Paul is like running down. You can listen on the podcast. He describes it. I was trying to look it up to see if I could find film of it because I wanted to see because nobody else is doing it. And it's really tough to defend with Chris Paul like running down full steam through either Jordan or Griffin at the same time or whoever it was setting this formation of screens. it was just on accident, and then now that it's just part of their playbook.
Yeah.
If they keep this up with their defense, yeah, Clippers should get it. But if Portland can make that adjustment and like get their defense up with like Amino being able to be that versatile wing, then they may have a shot at keeping this thing competitive and upset. But if not, Clippers are locked.
I have Clippers locked.
That's my amendment.
I have Clippers locked in at 6 or 5.
Okay.
So yeah, man, I think that covers it. First round, we picked our guys, and we get in our little breakdowns of the first games and the games that are going on right now, even so.